Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings.
There will be blessings on blessings.
Blessings on blessings. blessings, blessings, yeah. There will be blessings on blessings.
Hallelujah and glory to God. You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. And this is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuckle. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and since Minister Adam has not made it to the studio yet, I will be standing in his stead. Hallelujah. Let's have a word from to the Lord. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus, first and foremost for the host of this program, Father. I don't know what's going on, Lord Jesus, but I know that you do. So we just ask that you bless in the name of Jesus. We pray that all is well, Father God, and that he will be able to make it before the end of the program. Bless the listeners, O God, as only you can. Prepare their hearts and minds to receive, Father, all that you would have them to. I pray this and all other things in your Son Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Saints of God, we are living in a time where so many people are afraid. But I came to tell somebody today, if we make God our focus, we can tell our fear to disappear. Because life can be risky. Therefore, it can be filled with opportunities and reasons to fear or have anxiety. And when I use the word fear, I mean all levels of fear, from general apprehension to worry to dread and terror. Now, fear starts out when we are very young, with fears of things like darkness, our monsters, etc. And it continues into our teenage years with fears of things like rejection, humiliation, and failure. Adulthood is also filled with possible fears, such as a fear of disease, death, financial problems, broken relationships, loved ones being hurt, storms, failure, aging, crime, etc. I personally know what it's like to be filled with anxiety. We are an anxiety-laden society, as the sales of many books on dealing with anxiety and fears and the sales of calming drugs would indicate. Fear is very unpleasant, and it's very harmful physically, mentally, and even spiritually. For as the Bible tells us in Matthew 13:22, fear or anxiety chokes out the word of God. Fear can be very displeasing, and we dishonor God if we do not respond to it with faith in Him. As the Bible says, we will have anxieties, but we are to cast all our cares on Him. We want the solutions of we want solutions to the fear problems. We all want answers to anxiety. We are looking for something to relieve us from our fears, something to reassure us, and we're looking for some source of security that will instill a perfect confidence and peace within our hearts. Hallelujah. Some people look for that security in their bank account. Some seek that reassurance in a relationship. Others place their trust in the government or the latest drugs. None of these are real solutions because none of them offer total security or absolute reassurance. No amount of money, success, or any position in life can truly give you peace in every situation. So the question becomes, how can we have victory over fear? That answer to this important question is given in Psalm 27, which says, in effect, may God your focus and tell your fears to disappear. Certainly, this is the main ideal of Psalm 27. In verses 1 through 3, David expresses his confidence in God and an absence of fear in a very fearful situation because he is focused on God as his light, his salvation, and his stronghold. In verse 4 through 7, we see David focused on God. He is living in his presence, looking at his beauty, and listening to his voice. Because of his focus on God and dwelling in his presence, David can lift his head with confidence and sing with joy, as we see in verses 5 and 6. In verse 7 through 14, he again is focused on God and prays to him in the midst of this trouble and is reminded that God will never forsake him and will always guide him. Therefore, even though he does not receive an immediate answer or relief, he can still say in verse 16, I am confident. Hallelujah. There will be times, saints of God, when anxiety and fear will come into our lives, it is then that we have a choice to make. We can choose to focus on the problem and be overcome with fear, or we can choose to focus on God, and our fear will disappear. Let us now look at this psalm in detail and discover the particulars of David's response to fear, and hopefully we will follow his examples in times of apprehension so that we can say with David in verse 14, I will wait for the Lord and I will be strong. Now, as David focused on God, he sees that he really has no reason to fear. When he and we consider and think about who God is and what he will do in our lives, there is no real reason to fear. This is why David asked the rhetorical question, whom should I fear? Or as we would put it, why should I be afraid? He says this because his focus on God has reminded him of three things concerning God that are very reassuring. First, he says, the Lord is my light. Very often, troubling and fearful times are compared to darkness because we feel lost and in need of direction or light during these times. If you've ever walked into a sanctuary in total darkness, there will be a hesitation, caution, and apprehension because you are fearful about making a wrong turn or walking into something. The same would be true when the lights are on. It is the same way in life. There are troubling, dark times in which we cannot feel like we cannot see our way. Now, the same would not be true if the lights were on. Hallelujah. So when God is our light, the darkness will disappear. and the light will come flooding in. Now, the Lord does not necessarily give David or us light, but rather he personally becomes our light. He becomes our personal guide through the darkness, and he will see us to safety. Now, David also notes next that the Lord is his salvation, which means that the Lord is his rescuer or deliverer. In other words, David is not looking to weak people or his own self to rescue him or deliver him, but rather he is looking to the Lord, who is Jehovah. David wasn't depending on a man to do God's job. He called on the only one who could get the job done. In effect, this is what David is saying, that relieved his fears. David is reassured because it is the mighty God, the Lord who is the I Am, who is his rescuer and deliverer. David can be at ease because the Lord is his salvation. He is the mighty one who steals the seas with the word, and he is the one from whom the sky and earth flee. At this point, David asks himself a question, and we should ask ourselves also, whom should I fear? If the Lord is our light and our rescuer, why should we be afraid? That would be irrational, because who or what is greater than God? The Lord is also a stronghold of our life. A stronghold is a refuge, a place of safety from danger. This is a metaphor we should be able to relate to very well. Hallelujah. Especially right now in the face of all the hurricanes and the fires. All of us with common sense seek a refuge, a stronghold during these storms. The greater the intensity of the storm, the stronger the refuge we desire. The stronger the refuge, the less fearful we will be. If you were to go through a hurricane in a mobile home, you would be fearful because your refuge is weak and your stronghold is uncertain. But if you were to go through a hurricane in a concrete and steel reinforced emergency operations center, hallelujah, which is a refuge of strength, you would be able to have confidence and peace. Hallelujah. So David is saying that we should have competence and peace, not because there are no serious storms in our life, but because we have a secure place, a sure stronghold, for the Lord is our refuge. As we look to the greatness of our God instead of looking at the greatness of our problem, our anxiety will fade. It is then that we will know that we have the Lord as a light to guide us, as a savior to rescue us, and as a stronghold to protect us. We have the ultimate security, and therefore we can have peace and confidence in our lives. Excuse me. Sometimes we may feel that we are all alone, and fear and anxiety may try to creep in. But in truth, God is always there. We may not always be able to see him or feel him, but when we belong to him, he is always there. Like my brother Jeffrey Scott kept reminding us last night, Jesus said he will never leave us nor forsake us. And that is a reason for reassurance. As David focused on the Lord, his fears diminished and his confidence grew, so that he could be assured instead of anxious in every kind of situation. Now, David still expects to have troubles in his life. Note that he says, when evil men and when my enemy. David's use of the word when is indicative of the fact that he expects to have times of trouble in his life. God takes a way, or he makes a way, for us to be free of troubled hearts, but not from troubled times. David goes on to say that even if, an army beseech me, my heart will not fear. David says, even then I will be confident. These verses remind us that we can have peaceful hearts in every kind of situation, no matter how trying or troubling it may be. When we focus on God, our fear will disappear even when war breaks out against us. I want your faith and confidence and my faith and confidence in God to be like David's, so that we can say in every situation, even then, we will not fear. If the doctor tells you tomorrow you have terminal cancer, even then, you can be without fear. If Social Security were to fail, even then, you can have peaceful hearts. If you were to go through an economic depression and you were to be laid off and no job opportunities in sight, even then, you can still have absolute assurance and peace. So how can we be free from fear and have total confidence and assurance in our lives? The answer is to focus on God, and our fears will disappear. This is what David did, and is what David does in verses 4 through 6. These two verses are often innocently taken out of context and used to encourage us to put God as our highest priority and greatest desire. Now, this is certainly needful, good, and a main theme of the Bible, but we don't want to miss the connection that these verses have to the subject of fear. It is David's actions in verse 4 that give him the victory over fear and confidence in God in verses 5 and 6. In fact, the word "for" at the beginning of verse 5 makes a clear connection to the message of verse 4. So what is the message of verse 4? That God was David's all in all. The message is that David focused on God with every part of his life, and it was this focus that enabled him to live with great faith and confidence. David's focus on God is easy to see in verse 4. He had made God the very thing that he sought over all others. As he said, "One thing that I asked, this is what I seek." Now that it is a single mind, and that is a single-minded focus on God. First, David desired to dwell in the house of the Lord, which is a metaphor for living in God's presence and staying close to God. Most people in David's day visited the temple, but David wanted to live there, as he said, all the days of his life. His life was continually focused on God, and therefore he knew God intimately, and that gave him confidence in every situation. He did not just want to think about or focus on God on Sundays, Wednesdays, holidays, or when trouble came. No, he focused on God and drew close to him continually. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what we should do. We should just keep our focus on God. Hallelujah. And we should want to live in God's presence. And not only did David live in God's presence, but he also looked at God's perfection. As he says in verse 4, his desire was to gaze upon the beauty, which are the perfect attributes of the Lord. As he looked, he better put focus on God's attributes. His fears were relieved, because he saw God's faithfulness. He saw God's power. He saw God's love. He also focused on God by listening to his voice and his counsel rather than the voice of fears and those of the naysayers. He said he would seek him in his temple. The word "seek" means to inquire or petition. In other words, David is listening to God. He is taking his troubles to him and seeking his counsel. And therefore, as he focuses on God, his fears disappear. When we, like David, live with God, look to God, and listen to God, we will come to know him intimately. And during times of fear, we will be able to express the same faith that David did in verses 5 and 6, where he says, in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Now, these verses contain the heart of David's prayer as he sought God during the time of trouble. And Father God is faithful, the Lord reassured him. Since much of these verses is self-explanatory, and for the sake of time, I will only cover them briefly. David acknowledges in this prayer that he needs God. He, in effect, is saying that he cannot handle life by himself, and so he turned to God, and he asked for God's intervention and his compassion in verse 7, and he seeks God's guidance and protection in verse 11. You know, God desires to see our childlike dependence on him. And when we finally come to him and say with all of our hearts, I need you, Lord. You know, too often we miss God's reassurance and we continue in our fear because instead of going to God sincerely, we keep trying to handle things on our own. And our anxiety level only increases. When a child is frightened, they will usually run to an adult, jump into their arms, and hold on tightly. And there they are comforted. This is what we need to do when we feel overwhelmed. We need to run and jump into the Father's arms. David can be confident in coming to God with his problems because it is God who has told him to come, and he notes in verse 8. God wants us to turn to him. He waits to comfort us and reassure us. We are his children, and he will never turn us away. Sometimes we may feel that God wants nothing to do with us and that we should not bring our problems to him because we have not been an ideal, perfect child. It appears that David may have felt this way as he expressed in verse 9, where he said, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. Do not reject me or forsake me. But in verse 10, as he focused on God, his heart was reassured that God has not and will never reject him, no matter what. God's love and commitment to David and to us is greater than even that of a parent for their child. We've all seen how committed parents can be to standing by and comforting their children, even after they reach adulthood, and even after some of them have turned out very poorly. I have often said, if you ever go to death row, and you see a person about to be executed, there will be at least one person present in that gallery, and that's that man or woman's mother. God's commitment to us and desire to comfort us is even greater. As David focused on God, his fears disappeared so that his heart was confident that he would see the goodness of the Lord. Even though he had not yet received the answer he longed for. So he counsels himself, and he counsels us in verse 14 to wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. David, like us, had many reasons to have anxiety and fear in his life, but he had one greater reason to have peace. David focused on the Lord, and he remembered that the Lord is his light. And we need to remember that the Lord is our light, our salvation, and our stronghold. We can have victory over fear. As we make God our top priority and seek him with all our hearts, like David did in verse 4, we will be assured instead of anxious. We simply need to get our thoughts on God and turn to him and pray and remember that God will never turn away from us, because he has promised if we wait on him that we will see his goodness. Hallelujah. So how can we have victory over fear? We need to make God our focus. I've often asked, whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe what your eyes see on the television or your ears hear? Right now, we have fires raging, hurricanes blowing, diseases spreading, but yet we don't have to be afraid, because if we are a child of God, we know that God will reassure us, and he gives us confidence that no matter what, he is with us. God wants us to cast our cares upon him. God wants us to turn it over to him so he can turn it around. God wants us to pray with confidence, knowing that he can do all things but fail. God wants us, hallelujah, to come running to him and jump into his arms when we are afraid. I know I do. Anytime I feel even a little bit nervous, I feel just like a little girl. I will march up to the throne room, climb up on my father's lap, put my head on his chest, and say, Daddy, Daddy, can you please help me? I'm in trouble, and I need to hear a word from you. And you know what, saints of God? I never fail to feel comforted. I never fail to feel better. I never fail to be reassured. Because when I just think about the goodness of the Lord, hallelujah, when I just think about how merciful he is, how gracious he is, how loving he is, I am just reassured that no matter what, in due time, I am going to see the goodness of the Lord. So if I just stand fast, hallelujah, pray without ceasing, never give up and never give in, I know for myself that I will watch God work it out. Hallelujah. And he will indeed work it out for us. But we've got to take it to him. And we've got to trust him. And we've got to believe what he says in his holy word. You see, David believed God. He trusted God. God had been so good to him down through his life. And he didn't forget all the wonderful things God had done for him. And neither should we. If God has brought us through situations before, we need to know that he will do it again. God, hallelujah, is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He changes not. So if he said it, he meant it. Hallelujah. On last night, we had a beautiful sermon taught by Pastor Jeffrey Scott, and he used the example of Job and how the enemy was able to go and take everything that Job had, including his health. Hallelujah. And people were coming in and they were asking Job, well, Job, what did you do? Are you being punished? You know, why don't you just give up this God you serve? But no matter what the enemy took from Job, no matter what the enemy, how much the enemy hurt Job, Job did not give up on his God. He was patient and he waited on the Lord. He knew that his God was going to come through. He knew that as long as he had Jesus, he had God, he didn't need nobody else. And I say it's like Vicky Wanders, as long as I got, as I have King Jesus, I don't need anybody else. So I just praise God today that I don't have to walk around in fear. I don't have to let the enemy get the best of me, because my God is protecting me. My God is rescuing me. My God, hallelujah, is taking care of me. I just praise God that, you know, he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind. And I tell you the truth, the more we trust God, hallelujah, the more we come to know him, the more we will love him. The more we love him, the more we will fellowship with him. The more we fellowship with him, the more we will come to trust him. Hallelujah. Because, you know, that's just the way God is. I praise God today that sometimes, even at my lowest point, there was a time, thanks to God, when I wasn't even sure where my next meal was going to come from. I had to sit for almost 3 years with nothing after my husband passed away. I had no income coming in. Since I don't have any children, I did not qualify for many of the services that are offered to people with children. I did not qualify because I'm disabled. I can't work, so I could not go out and work on the GA program or these different work programs that the government provides so that you can collect a check. So I had to sit there with no income coming into my home. Now, I could have been afraid. I could have been petrified. How would my rent get paid? How would I eat? How would I, you know, what was I going to do? But true to form, God made a way. Before the first month had passed after my husband passed away, I knew that I was going to have help paying for my rent. And if I could have help paying for my rent, I knew I could go to pantries and different places and get food. So I praise God for the food pantries. I praise God for every program that was made available. And it was, you know, and I could have been like, well, these are programs that I've given into. These are programs that I've sown into. I don't want to go back now and ask them for anything. What will they think of me? You know, I'm Bishop, and I'm coming to them for help. That never crossed my mind, because, you see, I'm not afraid of what people think of me. I needed the help. The Lord had already showed me where to go, and that's where I went. God worked it out for me. He had to move me completely to another state in order for me to be able to live where I might have a few pennies left over at the end of the month, because he knows my true desire is ministry. And I owe many times I would pay, come out of my own, well, all the time before just recently, I had to come out of my pocket to pay for the luncheon need or pay for the different things needed to bless the people of God. But now the Lord had to bless me through those same organizations. And I just praise God for that, because my God can do abundantly and exceedingly more than we can think to ask, especially when we're not afraid to ask, especially when our focus is on Him. When we begin to praise God through it all, hallelujah, your fear will disappear. That's the one thing the enemy hates about the children of God. Whenever he tries to come against us, and we just praise the Lord anyway. Hallelujah. So put your fear in its proper place. Hallelujah. Away from you. Put your focus on God and tell your fear to take a hike in the name of Jesus, and glory to God. All right, if you are in the studio today and you have a comment or a question, you are more than welcome to do so simply by pressing your 1. I am going to now, and I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number in the name of Jesus. Area code 646, last 4 digits 1839. Hallelujah. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm blessed. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Daniel. Yeah, I was just listening to the sermon, what you were saying, do not have fear, you know. And yeah, sometimes that holds us back, you know, during these type of times that, you know, faith come by hearing. So it's more strengthening, more solid when you believe and hope for.
Amen, my brother. Say that now. That's a good point. My brother, you make a very... Go ahead, my brother. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just elaborating a little bit on what you were saying, because I was going through, you know, trials, tribulations, but, you know, I stayed more into the world, so that made me more strengthened, more empowered. So this is what I had to do, what I did. I just stayed into the world and then, you know, just talked to Him and let Him guide me through all my obstacles or where I'm about to go in the future.
Amen. Glory to God. Yes, that's what David said. The Lord is my light. He will guide us through the darkness. He is our salvation. He is our rescuer. And I like what you said, my brother. You just kept talking to Him. Even through it all, you kept talking to Him. And as you talk to Him, you could just feel your help coming on. You could just feel your strength coming on. And that's what that's a good point to make. The energy, yes, sir. Hallelujah. That energy, yes, he will re-energize you. Praise the Lord. He will bring you up and bring you out. And Brother Daniel, I'm going to add Apostle Zeta Flowers to the mix, because we got some people up in here that want to praise the Lord this afternoon.
Okay.
Glory to God. Apostle Zeta, come on in the room. Apostle Zeta?
I'm sorry.
She must have.
Praise God. I enjoyed the message. The message was so good. It was letting us know that no matter what we're struggling with, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we don't have, no matter what we can't see, God is our supplier. and he meets our every need. And I heard you say that he goes even beyond that. He does exceedingly abundantly above all that we could think or ask for, according to the power that worketh in us. And, you know, that is so true. You know, his word is true. We can depend on it. I was also paying attention to what the brother said, how he stayed in the word. He continued to stay in the word. And that's what we all do. No matter what's going on, no matter what it is, stay in the word of God. You know, don't allow the enemy to cheat us out of the truth, because the more of God's word that we hear, the more that we read and study, the better off we are, the stronger we get in him, and it increases our faith as well, because we're
continuing
to read what God is saying rather than focus on what the enemy is trying to do or what he's trying to do to us. Because he tries to speak to us too, but it's never the truth. Amen. And even
Amen.
If you hear a little part of the truth, it's going to be all messed up. It's not the true word of God that you're hearing.
That's
so,
right.
Staying focused on God and what he says he will do, we'll be all right. And then, fear,
yes, we will.
We're believers. We don't have to fear. The Lord has told us. And fear is just it's false evidence appearing real. It is, praise God. And so we just need to turn away from it and turn on more on our faith, praise God, more into believing who he is and who he says he is. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I love what Brother Daniel said, because, you know, what we need to do, there are so many in the body of Christ right now that they are, you know, there's just one thing after another. We have, you know, we have members of our church passing away. We've got COVID. We've got all these natural disasters. We've got, you know, so many things coming at us at one time. And, you know, it's easy for us to get overwhelmed. And there's people even in the church that are, you know, they're like, well, I just, you know, I've heard people actually say, well, I just think the devil is winning right now. No, he's not. Jesus defeated him once and for all. He is a defeated foe. He is going to stay a defeated foe. And we cannot become, you know, that's just our fear, your fear talking. You see, if Elohim, who is the Father God, created everything, who created everything, hallelujah, if he says this is how it's going to be, it's how it's going to be. You see, just because we have hurricanes or COVID, our God remains the same. God doesn't change that.
That's right.
Our God is still El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. Our God is still Jehovah Jireh, the God that sees and provides. Our God, hallelujah, is still Jehovah Rapha, the healer. See, I don't care what our eyes see. I don't care what our ears hear. God is still God, and he is still high and lifted up on his throne. And he is still providing for his children. Everybody's running around trying to hoard up. You know, a lot of people trying to run around and hoard up toilet paper and sanitizers and this and that, because they're afraid that, you know, we're going to somehow run out. I'm not. Because I'm going to tell you right now, Saints, every time I've been to the store, I found all the toilet paper I wanted, all the bleach I wanted, all the meat I wanted. I have not lost anything. You know, and have you ever noticed that how some people and the people in the world are going backwards, God is still elevating his people. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
While some folks are losing jobs, God is giving his people jobs.
Amen.
While some folks are losing their homes, God is helping first-time buyers buy a home for his kids.
Amen.
You know, so when the world is going down, God is elevating us. He's lifting us up, showing us you don't have to do, you don't have to anything to be afraid of. If 10,000 soldiers were to come against us, we don't have to be afraid. Because our God is bigger, our God is greater, our God is stronger, and just like he created us, he created them also.
Amen.
And we have seen in God's word time and time again what he will do for his children. And the other thing we need to remember is God's faithfulness is not based on our performance.
Glory.
God's faithfulness is based upon the fact that we are a part of his kingdom family.
Yes, yes.
So if you're going through some stuff right now, don't sit up and let the enemy fool you into thinking that you're doomed because God is somehow punishing you. God chastises his children. He lets, and he lets us know exactly why he's doing it.
Yes.
But God doesn't dangle things in front of us like carrots just to remove them. That's Satan's M.O.
Oh, yes.
That's Satan's M.O. You know, if God said it, God meant it. If God said it, he will do it. If
yes.
God said it, it's the truth, and nothing
yes.
down here is going to change that truth. I don't care. The winds may blow, the breakers may dash. I don't care. But you need to remember something. When you're going through a storm in life, and you're a child of God, always remember that Jesus is in the boat with you. That's
yes.
what we need to remember.
Yes.
You know, Jesus is in the boat with you. You know, remember when they was crossing and the waves and the wind came up and everybody, you know, Jesus was in the bottom of the bow, most sleep, and everybody ran back there talking about Jesus, Master. Don't
yeah,
you care that we perish? And I can just imagine Jesus calmly looking up at them like, if you knew who you were talking to, you would know that I'm able to calm the storm. And he got up and he said to the wind and the waves, peace, be still.
Yes.
Now, saints of God, I'd only have to see one incident like that to know that he was the Son of God. I wouldn't even have to wait until he turned water into wine or he fed 5,000 people with two fishes and five loaves of bread twice. I wouldn't, I already know, oh yeah, he's Jesus, oh yeah, he's the Son of God, yeah, he's the Messiah, oh yeah, oh yeah. But you know what? When you're alone, when you're feeling afraid, hey, what you need to do is first and foremost go to Jesus, and then go, call on those who are strong in the Lord, like Brother Daniel or Apostle Zeta or myself. Call on someone that can pray with you, help you to get through some things, you know, and not buy into what their eyes see and their ears hear, but they're going to come to you with a word from the Lord that is sure to reassure you and to bless you. I love the Lord. I love just sitting up there inquiring in his temple. I love, you know, and when we have the saints of God coming together, like right now, I don't care if it's just two or three.
Amen.
That's the beauty of the Lord. This is the beauty of the Lord. When we come together and we touch and agree and we let the world know we are brothers and sisters, we are in the family of God, and this is what our Father says about us, about you, and about him. This is the real beauty of the Lord. When we can come together and strengthen another so that they might come up a little bit higher in the Lord. And if you're listening right now, you're in here right now, and you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sin, I came to tell you, fear not, I have good news. You don't have to leave this program the same way you came in. All you need to do is ask the Lord, go to the Lord with a sincere heart. Ask him to forgive you of your sin, come into your life and save you. And you know what's going to happen? Jesus is going to show, he's already there. He's standing there with this welcome basket. And in this welcome basket is your salvation.
Thank you, Jesus.
It is your peace, your joy, forgiveness, unconditional love, hallelujah, understanding, wisdom, knowledge, discernment, huh? All of that is in his welcome basket.
Jesus.
His love for you is so great that he wants you to have every building block that you need in order to grow in him and become the mature Christian that he wants us to become, so we can turn around and we can lead others to Christ Jesus. So know, my brother and my sister, if you haven't given your life to God, you don't have to wait till COVID-19 is over and get all dressed up and run into a brick and mortar and wait till they open the doors of the church. I'll just open the doors of a church, God's church, because we're not inviting you to a denomination. We're not inviting you to a building, but we're inviting you to a relationship with the Father. This has been Bishop Charlene Cook standing in Minister Adam Tuggle's stead. I have been joined by my brother Daniel and Apostle Zeta, and we just want to thank you for listening, and we pray that you have been blessed and that you have put your focus on God, and you have tossed your fear to the side.
Yes,
so,
Lord.
We pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed weekend, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do.
And
from our household to your household, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Join us tomorrow at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for the Spirit Alive Trains and Worship Experience. You are more than welcome to come out and get your friends on with us. Hallelujah. And just remember that God loves you, and so do we. Have a blessed afternoon until we meet again. Hallelujah. God bless you.
We love you.
Love you.
Amen. And we'll be praying for Brother Daniel.
Yes.
Amen.